morning, Midland First. What a gift it is to be here with you today. We have some announcements for you this morning. One is the Curry concert is not this coming Friday, but the Friday after, May 17th at 7 p.m. I would encourage you to mark your calendars for that because it is going to be a good concert. Gabe, is there anything else you want to say about that?
I do have one other word. If you are willing to come to the concert, you may be willing to serve on our Welcome Wagon team. We are asking for 6 to 10 volunteers to stand at our entrance doors so that we can direct people into the main sanctuary. If you have ever been a visitor or remember your first time walking in the building, you know that it can be a little confusing as to where to go, especially if you enter on the Larkin Street side. So we are just asking for 6 to 10 volunteers to stand and say hello and greet our guests as they come in for the concert. Also a reminder that this is the first of 4 concerts we are having this year, and all of them are events that we are able to have thanks to the Endowment Fund, which has been a blessing to this church family and to our community. All of our concerts are free, and they are just a gift to be able to do for Midland and the surrounding area.
Thank you. And then we have an announcement about VBS and a video.
And thank goodness Jesus is with us. We're a little bit excited about this year's VBS. We will start each evening with a chef-prepared Nazareth-style meal. Then shopkeepers, and kudos to the slew of youth who volunteered Sunday night and gave great ideas, will go to their shops. The little kids will join their family tribes for the week, and off we will go each evening to Mary's house and the shops. We hope someone you know is registered. And if not, please encourage them. We want families to come together. We want people to invite friends. Please spread the word so folks will join us June 10th through the 13th. Thank you.
Thank you, Hillary. I have a few more announcements for you this morning, and before I get into that, I just want to remind you to please be reading your e-blast. There's lots of details about what's going on this May in there, so please be reading that, and if you are not currently receiving the e-blast, you can call the office, and we'll get you set up there. As you may know, Reverend Yum is on sabbatical for the month of May. His last Sunday with us will be June 9th, and there will be a reception for him and his family celebrating his ministry with us on that day. So please plan to stay for that. If anyone needs a visit from clergy or a layperson, please call the church office. Erica or Melanie would be very happy to assist in letting us know. It is very important that we know that someone is in the hospital, so if that is the case, please do let us know. Also, Pastor Mike is having surgery on May 14th. It is an invasive surgery, so he has requested our prayers. That will be In the morning at U of M on May 14th, which is a Tuesday. Likewise, I have some vacation coming up in the month of May a couple of times, and so I am preaching today and on May 19th, but next week, May 12th and May 26th, you will see some other pastors in the pulpit. And if you have any questions about that, feel free to let me know. Also, there will be a general conference delegate coming to speak to us on May 26th as well. Again, if you have any questions, please let me know and be reading your e-blast. I think we have one more. Our receptionist, Natalie, her last day will be this upcoming Wednesday, May 8th. So please stop in to the office and say hello to her. Wish her well as she goes on her next adventure. I believe that is all the announcements I have this morning.
I invite you to stand up, and I just want to comment and say it is a gorgeous day to be worshiping in this sanctuary. The sun is coming through the windows, and it feels like we're worshiping outside, and that's a really cool thing. Our first song is going to honor that. Shine, Jesus, shine.
As we look down the road where all the prodigal girls have walked, and one by one the enemy has whispered lies and led them off as slaves. But we know that you are God, yours is the victory. We know there is more to come that we may not yet see, and with the faith you've given us, we step into the valley unafraid.
We call out.
We call out to cry, bones come alive, come alive. We call out to dead hearts, come alive, come alive.
Mercy, God of unrelenting love, rescue every door to bring us back the wayward son, and by your Spirit breathe on us, show the world that you alone can save. You alone can.
Please be seated.
Today, for the children's blessing, you gonna join me? Okay. Today, for the children's blessing, we want to celebrate amazing kids like Katie and give thanks to the Memorial Committee for building the foundation of our godly play resources. Godly play is a holy, Bible-based methodology for children's church or Sunday school. The big concepts are mystery, as in the mystery of faith, and wonderings, as in what does today's Bible lesson make you wonder about? I want to share with you just some of the wonderings. First slide, please. I took the picture the wrong way. Just imagine the animal right side up. This is one of my favorite wonderings. It was done by a fall kindergartner, and it shows Mary riding the donkey to Bethlehem because it was a long, long journey. The next picture shows happy people once they understood that the tomb was empty because Jesus was alive. This slide just celebrates the love of God. This is a slide of the meal that Jesus shared with the men he met on the road to Emmaus. Here's a big one. Why did Jesus split the bread? And this is a charming wondering. Adeline is 16 months old. Her sister Meredith is second grade, I think. But she wanted to give Adeline credit for her wondering. Adeline was eating goldfish on the day we talked about Jesus and the disciples on the Sea of Galilee and Jesus cooking fish for them for breakfast. This is a collection of crosses from the Godly Play material. You see that children are constructing crosses from Play-Doh. There's also a remembrance of Christ's pierced hand. And the cross on the far right is especially amazing. A child took the initiative to make that cross with toys when she was playing. Brought it over and said, I want to give this cross to Jesus. So we prayed to Jesus. He's got that cross now. And this is just a collection of all our wonderings. We'll leave those up until after Pentecost. And then we're going to be studying the parables, which will give us lots to wonder about. Mystery and wondering with these kids in Godly Play has moved my own spiritual development more than anything else this year. It's very humbling to be in P4 with people like this young lady. I want to thank, too, their parents for sharing them with us. Affirmations that have come our way since using Godly Play have been that shopping on the Godly Play website, we've noticed that the resources are now being produced congregation size. All of us have things to wonder about. And sitting next to one of the girls designing VBS costumes, she writes, how is a kid a king? That's a wondering. It sure is. I'd like us all to join. I know we're small, but we're mighty. In hallelujah, praise ye the Lord for our prayer today. Hallelujah, 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 praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah, 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 praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord, hallelujah, praise ye the Lord, hallelujah, praise ye the Lord. Thank you, and amen.
As we enter into our time of prayer, I invite you to sing with us, Worthy, You Are Worthy. Let us sing.
Worthy.
be seated as we pray.
Let us pray together. Lord, you are worthy of all honor, glory, and praise. May we ever seek to do all that you call us to do in order to bring glory, honor, and praise to you. We thank you, Lord, for who you are and all that you have provided for us, for this beautiful day, for the children, and all that they are doing, all of who they are, and the things that they teach us. Lord, help us to be childlike as they are. Lord, we pray for the persecuted church today and for those who cannot worship as we do. Lord, protect them and strengthen them in your spirit. Lord, we pray for war-torn countries and those who need provision in whatever way that may be. Provide for them, Lord, because you are the provider. It's what you do and it's who you are. You are the good shepherd. Lord, we thank you for the privilege that it is to worship you in community together, and for the privilege that it is to pray to you. May we never take that for granted. And Lord, we pray the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray when he said, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." And now I invite you to a time of offering. Will the ushers please come forward?
As we sing the next verse,
the song cannot compare to the glory of your love. There is no shadow in your presence. No mortal man would dare to stand before your throne, before the Holy One of Heaven. It's all
Lord, we thank you so much for who you are and for these gifts before us that have been given, because we know that we can only give what we have already been given, and Lord, it is a privilege to give back to you. We pray that you would use these gifts to your honor and glory, and that you would multiply them as you see fit. Lord, we thank you so much for your giving of every good gift. And we love you, God. We pray all this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you. Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Revelation, chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. And to the angel of the church in Sardis write, "These are the words of him who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works. You have a name of being alive, but you are dead." Thank you. You have a name of being alive, but are dead. Wake up and strengthen what remains and is on the point of death, for I have not found your works perfect in the sight of my God. Remember then what you received and heard. Obey it and repent. If you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I will come to you. Yet you have still a few persons in Sardis who have not soiled their clothes. They will walk with me, dressed in white, for they are worthy. If you conquer, you will be clothed like them in white robes, and I will not blot your name out of the book of life. I will confess your name before my Father and before his angels. Let anyone who has an ear listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. If you've ever seen the TV show Psych, you know that it is known for the character Sean and his ever comedic personality and his eidetic memory. Sean is not a psychic, but he tricks the police into believing so in order to avoid jail time, because he got a slew of information that allowed the police to put the real criminal behind bars. An anonymous tipper who had seen the news and given so much accurate information that Sean made it hard for the police to believe that the information did not come from the inside. He notices minute details and can recall them very easily and with accuracy, ones that others do not see. In our text today, Jesus calls the church in Sardis to remember the minute details. Jumping right into the text, in verse 3, Jesus says, "Remember then what you have received and heard. Obey it and repent. If you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I will come to you." Now, I don't believe in jumping around a text, taking things out of context, lest they be easily misconstrued. However, I believe it is important to begin here in verse 3, because this is the heart of the passage. Without verse 3, without remembering, the church cannot move forward in faithfulness to God. Sardis was located 30 miles southeast of Thyatira, the church that Reverend Yum preached about last week. Sardis had much to be admired. It was culturally rich, had a natural citadel with rocks that went up to 1,500 feet. It was the place where Roman roads met and was thought to be a city that could not be taken. The city was known for the cult of Cybele, the goddess of one of Asia's most famous mystery religions. Sardis was also zealous in promoting emperor worship. That's from George Ladd, his commentary on the Revelation of John. Sardis enjoyed all the luxury it could handle, but the church had forgotten its God. The church at Sardis had become a church known for its works, prominent because of the city in which it was located, and because this was a city that was said could never be dominated. That is, until the city fell twice, to Cyrus and Antiochus the Great, owing to a lack of vigilance on the part of its inhabitants, according to John Christopher Thomas and Frank Machia. This is the context in which the words of him who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars were written. Jesus was not unaware of the circumstances of the church at Sardis. He was no less sovereign because they were going in a way in which they had a name of being alive, but were dead, as it says in verse 1. Jesus even says, "I know your works." What a way to characterize a group of Christ followers. You have the name of being alive, but are dead. Ouch. The sovereign God of the universe, the one who creates and the one who gives life, calls out the church for having the appearance of life, but being dead. His very first sentence to them. The text itself does not tell us how they got here, but discerning from what we know about the city itself, cities do not fall on their own, nor do they crumble overnight. In verse 2, Jesus says, "It is time to wake up. Wake up and strengthen what remains and is on the point of death, for I have not found your works perfect in the sight of my God." They have not yet reached the point of no return. There is still time to turn back and remember. That is why we jumped right into the passage today. We should not ignore the context of the text we're looking at, nor should we ever come to a text and read it as if we know what it should say. Anytime we open the Bible, it is important to come with a spirit of humility, even as we understand our presuppositions that follow us in our reading. That is true for us all, because we all have life experiences that we think about when we read. However, we are called to lay those aside as much as possible whenever we open the scriptures, because they are sacred. The words written down in what we call the Bible were written down by human hands, but are divinely inspired, now and forever. We come with our hands open and let the text teach us. Let God speak to us, not the other way around. That is why the imperative to remember in verse 3 is so important. Jesus is calling the church to remember what they have received and heard, the details of the good news. That is how they obey and repent. Paul, in his letter to the church in Rome, reminds the people that we live in a broken world and sin holds us captive. All of us are guilty of separating ourselves from God by allowing our own ideas of what is good and what is best dictate how we live. But Paul calls the church to see the kindness of God. But not just to see it, to know and acknowledge it. This is the good news. This is what would lead the church in Sardis to obey and repent. Remembering what they had seen, what they had received and heard, the kindness of God. Jesus does not mince his words. He calls them to remember the minute details and hold them in mind because they have fallen asleep. Their works are many, but their eyes were not fixed only on Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God. They had the name of being alive, but they were dead and their garments were soiled. They had relaxed into the fortified city around them, but the city fell twice. And Jesus warned the church that he would come like a thief, and they would be caught unaware if they remained sleeping. They had to be honest with themselves if they were going to walk with Jesus. The kingdom of God is worth everything it costs to buy it, but it is a high price. Matthew records a parable of what the kingdom of God is like. He writes that Jesus said, "The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and reburied. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field." Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. That is Matthew chapter 13, verses 44 through 46. Can you imagine it? Let's pause right here for just a second. I'm going to read those two verses again, but this time I'd like you to please close your eyes and imagine what it might look like for these verses to play out in a literal real-life situation. What might be planted in the field? What does the treasure look like? What is the man's reaction? How does he know the value of what he has found? What about the merchant? How does he know what he has found? The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and reburied. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Okay, you can open your eyes. The reason I had you do that was because I wanted to shift the perspective and remind us that the kingdom of God is not some abstract thing out there, wherever out there is. But that's my point. When I read those two verses, something popped into your mind, didn't it? Some image, some memory. The kingdom of God is not something we just talk about. It is a reality that we live into, and it is more real than the brokenness that we are deceived by so easily. It is so easy to get caught up in day-to-day tasks, in weekly routines, in the things right in front of our faces that matter to us, that it is easy to forget that we were created first and foremost to be in relationship with God and to allow every other relationship to be centered in Christ Jesus. We were created to live with God in his love and to enjoy that which he has created. Everything that is good and right and true, everything that is honorable and pure, just and worthy of praise, it reflects the kingdom of God. Friends, I say this to you because what we learn from the church in Sardis and the letter that Jesus has written to them is important. And it is essential to understanding how Christ calls us to live and what it means to be his disciple. It is not enough to have the appearance of being alive, of doing the works of God without our eyes being fixed upon him. It is not enough to want the kingdom of God without walking the path that goes into it. It is not enough to make a habit of engaging in the means of grace without remembering the grace that taught us how to engage with God, and that it is a privilege to do so. The greatest joy we could ever have in this life is found in Jesus Christ. No matter what happens as we walk into the future, we are called to fix our eyes on Jesus Christ, the author and the perfecter of our faith. Because it is he who created us and he who loves us more than anyone ever could. And it is Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, who gave his very life for us so that we would never have to be separated from God again. Verses 4 and 5 in Revelation chapter 3 from our passage today say, "Yet you have still a few persons in Sardis who have not soiled their clothes. They will walk with me, dressed in white, for they are worthy. If you conquer, you will be clothed like them in white robes, and I will not erase your name from the book of life. I will confess your name before my Father and before his angels." Friends, make no mistake. Jesus is faithful, and he walks with us, but we are called to walk next to him. Two verses are not a guarantee. They are a call to walk faithfully with God as he walks faithfully with us. Verse 5 says, "If you conquer," meaning that Jesus is expecting us to do something in order to receive the inheritance that he has for us in the kingdom of God. Let me clarify and make it very clear what I'm saying so that there's no miscommunication. There are no conditions to God's love. God is going to love us no matter what we do. But we get to choose whether we are going to love him back or not. We get to choose whether or not we are going to be faithful to him. That is why we are called to remember what we have received and heard, just as the church in Sardis was called. Because God's love and everything created from and within that love is more beautiful than we even have words for. It is worth giving up everything for, but we get to choose whether or not we are going to do that. In every circumstance, we get to choose. What I'm doing my best to communicate is that as faithful followers of Christ, we are called to take hold of our faith, walk in the confidence and joy of the Lord, live from that place because of what he has done for us, and fix our eyes on him because there is nothing better. There is nothing better than Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter what circumstances we're talking about. Circumstances come and go. But Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's from Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. That is who we live our lives for. That is why we do the work that we do in this building and outside of this building as followers of Christ, because we love him. That is what it means to follow Jesus, to love Jesus for who he is, period. End of sentence. and to do everything that we do because we love him. That is how we conquer. Some of you may have heard me quote Julianne of Norwich before. She was a writer in the early church. And the quote that I love is very simple. All shall be well, and all shall be well, and all manner of thing shall be well. We know that to be true because of who Jesus is, and because we know that he never changes. May we, Midland First United Methodist Church, fix our eyes on Jesus Christ and him only, so that we may be alive, not only in appearance, but in reality. We fix our eyes on Jesus Christ, not because the treasure in the field and the pearl of great price are tangible things that we can hold on to, but because the greatest treasure we could ever have is a relationship with Jesus Christ. Let us pursue him as he pursues us, because that is how relationships grow, and because he is the best thing worth remembering. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. As we come to the communion table this morning, I invite you to remember. Remember what it was like when Jesus called you to himself. And part of the reason, what we're going to do this morning, is I'm going to have you turn to pages 12 and 13 in your hymnal, or look upon the screen as we go through the liturgy together. And part of the reason why we go through a liturgy together is because it's an act of remembering. Thank you. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves it. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. Glory to God indeed. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right. And a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join the unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ's offering for us, as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Pour out your Spirit, pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be the body of Christ for the world, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. The table is set. Please come.
Who can understand?
I invite you to stand as we finish our service today with a song called Awake My Soul.
There is a sound I love to hear. It's the sound of the Savior's robes as he walks into the room where people pray. We hear praises, he hears faith.
There is a sound.
There is a sound I love to hear. It's the sound of the Savior's robe as he walks into the room where people pray. When we
invite you to be seated. Our SLC has an announcement for us this morning.
Good morning. On behalf of the Strategic Leadership Council, I would like to announce the appointment of Reverend Jeremy Africa, our new pastor, effective July 1st, 2024. Pastor Jeremy and his wife, Cara, were introduced to our Strategic Leadership Council on Friday evening by our district superintendent, the Reverend John Casper, on behalf of Bishop David Bard, who set this new appointment. We are very excited about the spirit, gifts, and abilities that Pastor Jeremy will bring to our congregation. He and his family come to us from the Otsego United Methodist Church, where he has served since 2022. We will be planning a warm welcome for Pastor Jeremy, Cara, and their family after his arrival in July, when we will begin our shared ministry under his leadership. In the meantime, of course, we will also be celebrating the ministry of Pastor Yum to thank him for his years of faithful service as we pray God's blessing upon his future. We are so pleased to make this announcement and know that you will enjoy meeting Pastor Jeremy and Kara. Please hold them and their family in prayer during these months of transition. Pray, too, for the whole cabinet, including Bishop Bard, as they continue to meet, pray, and discern God's will in the appointment-making process. Trusting in God's amazing grace, Christ's faithful love, and the presence and power of the Holy Spirit as we move into the future. I'd also like to share a letter that Reverend Africa gave to me Friday evening. He thought I might like to include some of the information in his letter in this announcement that I just made. But I think it's a lovely letter, and it's short, so I'm going to read it. Friends and members of First UMC Midland, I am humbled and excited by Bishop David Bard's appointment of me to the First United Methodist Church of Midland as lead pastor. While Kara and I were so blessed by our time at Midland First from 2006 to 2010, when I served as associate pastor, we could not have imagined the road God has laid that is leading us back here. Even though I realize there's, quote, no stepping into the same river twice, Kara and I look forward to returning to a church that has stayed special to us since we left, and a community we enjoyed and admired our first time through. Kara works as a licensed professional counselor via telehealth. She specializes in working with adolescents and young adults going through life's transitions. Joining us when we return will be our 10-year-old son, Andrew. He will enter the fourth grade this fall and loves cars, sports, and family. What Andrew wants people to know about him is that he's not a quitter. Accompanying all three of us will be our 3-year-old English Black Labrador Retriever, Brooks. My family and I look forward to renewing past acquaintances and friendships, beginning new ones, learning anew all that God is doing at Midland First, meeting the staff, serving alongside the church's leadership, and imagining with the congregation all that God is calling us to do together to help people know, love, and share Jesus Christ. God's best, Reverend Jeremy Africa. I'd also like to share a couple photos that Reverend Africa left with us, and I know that many of you will recognize these familiar faces and remember them very fondly. Thank you.
Thank you. All hail the Lord, all hail the King, all hail King Jesus. Go in the love of Christ and remember all that he has called you to, all that he has done for you, so that we may be alive not only in name but in actions as well. Go in the love of Christ and proclaim it boldly. There are many who need to hear. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.